And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Deception, dishonesty, and disrespect is rampant throughout America. And I'm going to talk about it on today's program. I'm Tex Mars. Friends, welcome to Power of Prophecy. You know, when I was a child, my mother washed my mouth out one time with soap. I really didn't say any bad words, but my brother did. He said the word dang, D-A-N-G. My mother said, well, that's a substitute for a cuss word. So she took all five of us kids, we later had another little sister, make it six. She took all five of us kids into the bathroom and she said, I'm not going to have you kids using profanity. And she washed all our mouths out with soap. And I kept protesting. Well, I hadn't said anything. She says, well, I bet you did when I wasn't here, didn't you? Well, I had to confess, I'd said dang and heck and a few words like that. So she went ahead and gave me the soap treatment. Didn't taste good at all. I didn't like it. I tell you, we didn't have that good soap back then either. Now, parents don't seem to do that for many kids nowadays. Maybe they should, because I really learned a lesson from having soap stuck in my mouth. I didn't really eat it, but I just, you know, whoa. But my mother maybe taught me a valuable lesson. Don't do any cursing or profanity. You know, George Washington, as when he was general in charge of the army, he wrote a letter to all of his officers telling them he better not catch them cursing, using profanity. Now, he was a very busy man, and they didn't have enough food, and they were so cold. And remember that, you know, the Concord River, and when they went across and beat the British, won independence for America. Seems like he would have a lot more important thing to do than just to tell his officers, don't curse. But he put out an order. He said, gentlemen, don't say curse words. Now, he used the word profanity. He didn't use the word cuss words. But basically, he didn't want to see it among his officers. And he said it shows a lack of the knowledge of language. It shows that you're a stupid person if you say bad words. You're not an educated man. You're not a gentleman. And that's what he wanted his officers to be, gentlemen. Now, I remember when I was an officer candidate many years ago, I went to officer training school, and they taught me gentlemen and officers don't use profanity. And we would be punished when we said any word, any kind of profane word. I didn't complain about that. I thought that was appropriate. And I went out and I became an officer, and all of my men, I never said one word of profanity to them. Never. Well, now I don't have my officers over me. I don't have my mother to tell me what to do. But I do have my wife, Wanda. And she won't let me speak any profanity either. And that's okay. I like that. Even in the privacy of our home, Wanda doesn't like profanity. Even when I'm angry. Even if I hit my finger with a hammer by accident, she won't like it if I say a curse word. Now, that's the way I've been raised. But evidently, a lot of kids are not raised that way anymore. And I remember the first time, I must have been in my 20s or 30s. I can't remember exactly when. I went to a sporting event I think a football game, and there were a bunch of kids down below me, and they were all cursing. Saying words like, you know, F-U-C-K and S-H-I-T and things like that. And I had my wife with me. And, you know, I was about to go down there and, you know, knock heads. But then I thought, well, you know, they probably haven't been taught. They don't know any better. Well, now it's become widespread over the years. And recently a young man cursed in front of me, and I said, hey, what do you have to do that for? What do you have to curse for?
Well, everybody does it.
No, everybody doesn't do it. You know, only idiots do it. Only dummies do it. Are you an idiot or a dummy? Well, no. Well, don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But then many people will argue with you. In fact, many people will just, well, you know, shoot you the old proverbial finger. You know what that is. I want to take their finger and just rip it off, say, my mama told me not to use that either. But they disrespect you. You know, in the newspapers recently, on YouTube, was a story of some 18-year-old girl. She'd been arrested for drugs. And they arraigned her before a judge. And he gave her the punishment, you know, I don't know what the bond, whatever it was going to be. And she said, okay, adios. Like, just flipping. He said, what did you say? She said, I said, you know, then she used F-U-C-K-U. He said, did I just hear you say F-U-C-K me? She said, that's right, Judge. And smiled, laughed about it as she was doing her hair. You know, flippantly back, ha, ha, ha. 20 days, he said, contempt of court. Her mouth opened so wide. And she said something back to him. I don't know what. I couldn't see in the film. He said, 30 days. And, you know, she deserved it. She disrespected a judge. I was taught you don't disrespect judges. Judges have authority over you. But even when they're wrong, you don't disrespect them. It seems today we disrespect almost everybody. We deceive people. We're dishonest to people. And we disrespect people. Not only those in authority, but those that are at the bottom of the pole. Deception, dishonesty, and disrespect are sweeping America. I think there's something basically, essentially wrong with a society where people have this frame of mind. I think George Washington knew. I think my officer training school, they knew. And I think you and I know. Because I think if you listen to Power Prophecy, you believe like I do. You may not agree with me on everything, but you pretty well, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Now, why this wave of cheating and lying? And what does it mean to us as a people, as a community of individuals? Now, it seems that deception, dishonesty are just everywhere. Starts with our president right at the top, President Obama. He makes all these promises and he just lies. Doesn't really mean it. I mean, he lied to us about his birth certificate. Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Phoenix, Arizona has all the proof. They used Photoshop and made up a birth certificate and pawned it off as real. And all the media know it and laugh about it. They think it's funny. that we don't have a real American as president of the United States. Well, you see where it's gotten us, don't you? And not just him, everyone does it, don't they? I told you about a young man that visited my home a couple years ago, and he said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Sure." "Did you cheat when you were in high school?" I looked at him and said, "No." He said, "You never cheated on a test?" "No, I never cheated on a test," I told him. And he looked very sheepish, and he said, "I've cheated before." I said, "You have?" "Yes," he said, "I've cheated. Everybody in my high school cheated." I said, "Everybody?" "Well, some people didn't." "Some people didn't, huh?" Now, you know, I'd like to inform that young man. I didn't really have the presence of mind at that time, but I'd like to inform that young man of something. If you take those few people who didn't, and then you take all those people that did, and you check where they're at in about 20 years, you're going to find out something. They've got ahead of, they're way ahead of those that cheated. I think an honest person, somebody you can count on, who is reliable, who you can trust, is going to go a long way in society. They will. Because we have so few of them. And they're so valued. That's what everyone is looking for. Now, the young man told me, "Everybody does it." I said, "Really?" "Yeah," he said, "everybody does it." "Well, first of all, everybody doesn't do it. Yes, the majority do it, but when has the majority ever been right? Can you name a time when the majority has been right?" "I bet you can't. I bet you can't. You can't name on your hand how many times the majority has been right. It's always the minority that's right. It is. Congress lies today. They lie about everything. They pass bills they haven't even read. 2,000-page bills. That's what Obamacare was, over 2,000. Can you imagine? What's that, about 4 or 5 feet high? You don't even have time to read it. You don't even have time to consider it. You just vote on it. Vote on it. You don't know what's in it. It could be horrors, and it is horrible. It's a horrible bill. But it's there. Now, the people who developed it, they knew what they were doing. And so they brought to Congress this gigantic bill. Then it went to the Supreme Court. Various states said, "No, this is unconstitutional." It went all the way to the Supreme Court. Then by one vote, it was approved. It's the law of the land now. Obamacare. But did the Supreme Court justices read it? No. They have clerks do their reading for them. But did the clerks of the Supreme Court read it? No. They didn't have time. But they had to vote on it, and now it's part of our political system. Congress lies about everything. The president lies. Congress lies. And so we have a political system that's just a bunch of liars. Now, what does it mean for you? What does it mean that most people cheat? I'll tell you what it means. It means you can't depend on them. You can't trust them. They're not reliable. It means when you call an air conditioning man to come out and fix your air conditioning in your home or your heater in your home, he's going to overcharge you. It may be a small thing, maybe a fuse, maybe a wire got loose. That's all it is. He's going to come in with a sad look on his face and say, "Boy, you need a whole new compressor. That's going to be $2,000. I'm so sorry." All you need is the wires put together. It takes 1 minute. But see, you don't know air conditioning. the world's got so specialized today. You depend on the honest, reliable air conditioning service person. But most of them cheat you, don't they? You take your car to the garage. Well, watch out, because most of them will cheat you. They learned when they were young to do that. Everybody does it. So there's not really anything wrong with your car. Maybe it's just, you know, some little bitty thing. But the mechanic comes out with a glum face and says, well, that'll set you back $2,300. Wow! Got to pay it, because you really don't know what's wrong with your car. You're depending, you're relying, you're trusting the mechanic. He's a crook. Most mechanics are. You've got to go out there and find the few honest people in this world that won't cheat you. You know, I was building a new home years ago, and the building foreman came up to me and said, he had the painter in here, and he was asking me how much money you and Wanda had. I said, what does that matter? He said, well, they want me to paint this staircase, you know. Now that took about 5 or 6 hours of painting. And he says, you think I can get away with $1,800? The foreman said, no, you can't do that. That's about a $400 job. Yeah, but they won't ever know. Why don't I make the bill $1,800? And I guess he was offering the foreman, you know, I'll give you a kickback. Well, the foreman was an honest guy. Said, no, I can't do that. Can't let you do them like that. So he didn't. And the foreman told me about it, and I thanked him. I said, you're an honest man. He was the best foreman we'd had on the job. And about 2 months later, I discovered that that foreman, that young man, who one day brought his family over, his beautiful wife, his children, said, this is my wife, this is my children. I just wanted to see the new house I was building. I said, great. But one day, he didn't come around anymore. They sent a new foreman. I said, whatever happened to Jack? They said, oh, you didn't hear? He killed himself. He committed suicide. I said, what did he do that for? They said, the builder of your home is a crook. And he told him to do something dishonest, Jack to do something dishonest on the home, and he couldn't bear to do it, and he killed himself. He killed himself. Because some dishonest jackal, well, you know, as without going into difficulty, I can tell you that me and the builder really had it out. I mean, a man has to commit suicide because he's expected to cheat and lie? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Well, Lance Armstrong, he's from Austin, Texas. He's a cheater. How many times did he win the, you know, the cycling championship of the world, the one that they have in Paris every year? Was it 7 times, Jerry? Yeah, 7 times. 7 years he won the cycling championship. Then word got out, you know, that he was taking dope. And that's how he won. It makes your body so much stronger to take these steroids. He said, that's a lie. And he went forth like a warrior to destroy those who had accused him. He destroyed their careers. He destroyed the lives of those who said they'd seen him taking drugs. And then finally, the doping agency caught up with him, and they put out a huge report that proved conclusively that he took dope, that there was a very comprehensive system set up by the Americans of doping. That's how they won. Well, Lance Armstrong did have an excuse. He said, as far as I knew, everybody doped. You can't win if you don't dope. That's what they say. You can't win if you don't dope. I have a woman that one and I know. Her daughter is very big. She's over 6 feet. She's huge. Huge girl. She's not fat. She's just muscular. She's big. She's a volleyball star. She got a college scholarship for it. And she was a one of these, almost all American volleyball players. And we said to her mother, boy, she has really done great. And then one said, she doesn't take steroids, does she? And her mother very sheepishly said, yeah. All the way through school, we had to give her steroids. It built her up. She couldn't have won a scholarship unless she was on steroids. So that was the secret of her success. She's a volleyball star. She takes steroids. She's huge. She's a superwoman. She takes steroids. Just like Lance Armstrong took steroids. But this one took a different kind of steroid to build up. And it was brought to my attention that all the volleyball stars take steroids. Just like all the boxers do. And all of the football stars do. And on and on. I mean, look at our baseball stars. Mark McGwire broke the record. I was thrilled for him. Wow. He hit more home runs than, whoever. Sammy Sosa, man, knocking home runs left and right. And I'll tell you, I'm not really a baseball fan, but I watched a few games. I was very pleased. I was excited. For these people. I'm back in the old days of Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. That's my baseball back in the early 60s and late 50s. Those guys were pretty small. I mean, remember, they were average size guys. They were just average size people. I turned on a baseball game and all these guys were huge. Built out, muscular, tall, broad. And McGwire himself was huge. And Sammy Sosa, who would have been a small guy, has big muscles. And then it hit me. They're all on steroids. The whole, my mother, she's still alive, I tell you. 95 years old, she'll probably brushed my mouth out with soap. Or Wanda will when she hears it. Jerry, get rid of that D-A-R-N, okay? See how things can just, impact you. Oh, that's funny. No, not funny to Wanda. Okay. But the whole baseball field, it seemed like, was big guys. They were bigger than your guys on the street. Now you look to the famous guys, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. None of them were big. They were all just average size. Look at Babe Ruth. He didn't even look like he could hit a homer. He didn't look like if he hit a homer, didn't look like he could make it around three bases. But he did it. And he knocked 60 home runs in 1 year. He deserves even more credit today. And I thought about it. Hey, Barry Bonds and Sammy McGwire and Mark Sosa, and Sammy Sosa. They need to put an asterisk by your name. In the record books, they need to put an asterisk by your name and say, did it on steroids. You never broke any record, buddy. You're just a dope addict. That's all. Confess up to it. Well, Mark McGwire wouldn't confess up to it, and finally he did. And, you know, others have, and they finally came forward and admitted it. There's still guys out there that deny it, but you know they did it. Barry Bonds went into baseball. He was just a small guy, came out a huge giant of a man. Every year he got bigger and bigger. They were lying to us. Deception, dishonesty. And really, that is disrespect when they lie to you, isn't it? When Lance Armstrong did what he did, and everybody raved about the guy, gave money to his foundation. I mean, wow, how could you win 7 times? That's incredible. Well, it was incredible. He was a doper. Now, they've taken most of his medals away from him. But he was a doper. I'll never trust skating again. A couple years ago, there was one that I used to like, ice skating. Not that we skated ourselves. We used to watch other people do it. And we were so thrilled at Nancy Kwan and all these girls, you know, that could twirl on the ice so gracefully. And then we found out there was cheating going on in that sport, too. You know, France, in the Olympics, France would collude with Russia to give a certain person a higher score and blah, 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 blah. Cheating. The best people don't always win. And so you really don't know who's the best. I remember in boxing some years ago, I think it was it Roy Jones or Evander Holyfield? Evander Holyfield. He was in the Olympics. He won, but then he didn't win. I think it was Roy Jones. Yeah, Roy Jones. He went on to become the light heavyweight champion of the world in pro boxing. But as a amateur, he was in the Olympics. He was voted by the other members of the U.S. boxing team as the best boxer in the entire Olympics that 4-year period. He was the best boxer of all, but he didn't even win the championship. He was a middleweight. They gave it to some guy from Korea. The guy from Korea knew that he lost all 3 rounds. There's only 3 rounds in amateur fights. He lost every round. Roy Jones beat him up so bad, he lost each and every round. Then at the end, they called him the victor. He won the gold medal. And Roy Jones was left out. The guy knew he had lost, and he didn't know why, but he knew it was a crooked deal. He didn't know why he won. And he was so taken with emotion, he ran across the ring, and he grabbed Roy Jones up, and he lifted him, the whole body, up to the audience, and the whole auditorium broke out in applause for Roy Jones, who had just lost the gold medal. The man that beat him lifted his body up over to show people this man deserves to be the champion. But he came home. He wasn't the champion. He'd been cheated. Deception, dishonesty, and disrespect sweeps America today. Now, I'm going to give you some more examples of this when we come back in just a minute. Because I want you to know how much this impacts people. And what you and I can do to end this. To end this incredible sweeping wave that is undermining the best of America. I'm Tex Mars. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. Hey, do you have my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star? It's an incredible book. It really is. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't like it. Of course, they haven't read it, but they don't like it anyway. I can understand why. This book is a shocker. It exposes what the Jews and their religion, Judaism, really believe. You're going to be shocked to discover that Jewish rabbis actually believe that 666 is a wonderful and holy number. And they actually worship, get this now, the holy serpent. The holy serpent. How is that possible? In Judaism. Well, I was told that Judaism is the Old Testament, but it's not. It's the Jewish Talmud. But there's more. An explanation. Powerful, poignant story of how our politicians came to be controlled by the Jewish lobby. You'll learn how Israel came to be by deception, by dishonesty, by paying our president, Harry Truman, a bribe of millions of dollars. There again, we get into the dishonesty, the deception, the betrayal of America by our own president. Oh, there's so much to this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I pray you will get a copy of it. Now, you won't find it in the bookstores. Every time it goes in, you know, the Jews go in and take it out, demand that it not be allowed. They don't want freedom of speech. They don't challenge me in court. They don't say this book is a lie. They just try to make sure you don't read it. But I want you to read it. I want you to know the truth. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Everything you'd want to know about Judaism, the Jews, Israel, Zionism, and even the Rothschilds is in this book. Now, the book is $30 in all, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. Please order your copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Here's how you get it. Just phone us, toll-free, during the work week, Monday through Friday, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Again, it's a total of $30. It's a big book. It's like an encyclopedia. You wait till you see it. A lot of pictures. Now, you can go to our website. Very, very easy to use your charge card there. Just go to powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. By the way, you're going to also see my newest video, Die, America, Die. The conspiracy to destroy America. Die, America, Die. My new video. Right there on powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Or simply go to textmars.com. That'll get you to the website as well. And now let's return to our program. I failed to tell you about our address. Of course, you can order it by sending that $30 and say, text, send me that book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Send your money to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to Power of Prophecy. Hey, while ago, folks, I was talking to you about Nancy Kwan. Well, it's Michelle Kwan. That's her real name. I was thinking of Nancy Kerrigan. You know, the gal whose knee was blasted by an associate, let's just call him that, of, well, another liar, Tanya Harding. She hated, and she was competing with Nancy Kerrigan in ice skating, so she just said, well, I'll take care of her. We'll just whack her knee. Boy, of course, that really raised a lot of Cain in the world of ice skating. But anyway, I was talking about Michelle Kwan, who I know of nothing dishonest about Michelle. She was a wonderful skater, as was Nancy Kerrigan as well. Tanya Harding, well, okay. Let's forget about that woman. Now, let's talk some more about deception, dishonesty, that lead to disrespect here in America, how it's sweeping our country. I told you about Lance Armstrong. Maybe you already know about him. He's been shamed. But how about Monte Teo? Were you interested in football this year? Well, Monte Teo was a champion. He was number 2 or 3, I think it was, in the Heisman Trophy, you know, sweepstakes. Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame, the, boy, I tell you what a famous school that is. Catholic, of course, Notre Dame. They played Alabama in the national championship, and they lost big to Alabama. But their championship lineman was Monte Teo. Well, as you know, it turned out that he'd been involved in a big lie, a deception, dishonest deal. It seems that he had been for 3 years in contact with a girl from Southern California. Well, he was engaged to her. They were going to get married. They loved each other. Of course, he had never met her. He met her online, he says. Then he told all the press about it. Now, you know, as he was getting famous right at the end of his senior year, and everybody was, you know, applauding him and labeling him one of the best linemen of all times and all this kind of stuff, Monte Teo suddenly comes up and says, "My fiance is ill. She's sick." Then she died. Boy. And you know what? He didn't even go to her funeral. He said she told him, "I want you to go and play football this weekend. I'm dying. You don't worry about it." Oh, now that was a heartbreaker, wouldn't it? Wasn't that a shocker? She even said, "Don't come to my funeral. I want you to play football." Now, the whole world would tell a story like this, just broke their hearts, until it turned out, after he had played Alabama, somebody did some checking and found that the girl didn't even exist. Had Monte Teo been lying? Was he dishonest? Was he deceptive? Did he disrespect America? He says, "No, I didn't." He was on the Katie Couric show and many other TV programs. He says, "No, I didn't do that. I was deceived myself." As it turns out, on the internet, the person he had been communicating with was a man. A homosexual man. Who sent Monte Teo a picture of another girl. And he proposed to Monte Teo that was him. Now, Monte Teo says, "For 3 years, I carried on a long-distance internet relationship with her." Now, in 3 years, he never went to see her. He was off every summer, but he never went to see her. I don't know why. He just didn't. He had never met the girl. Well, he said one time he had met her, but then he changed his story. "No, I never met her." How can you get engaged to somebody you never even met? There's only a picture on the internet. Then the voice you hear turns out to be a man, not a woman. Well, most people think that Monte Teo is just a big fat liar. Or maybe he was just a big fat dummy that got deceived. I don't know which. But it seems like you can just about cheat anybody on the internet, doesn't it? I mean, they've got, you know, now harmony.com and, you know, meetme@not.com. I don't know what they've got. And you go on there, you better be very careful. Because the picture you see and the description of the person, man or woman that you see, may not be them at all. So then, you know, she lives in Indiana and you live in, I don't know, New Jersey. And you get all excited, your heart flutters and all that. And then you go to see her or him. And wow, they don't even look like the same. They're not even the same age. Well, she said she was 28, now she's 55. She said she weighed 120, now she weighs 240. And she has snaggle teeth. I don't know what she, I don't know. But then she doesn't have the education that she said. She doesn't have the job experience that you thought she had. She doesn't have anything you thought she had. But you're there sitting meeting her for the first time. And she's thrilled to meet you, I suppose. And you know, our teenage boys and girls They're being fed lies constantly on the internet. Constantly. And they believe it too. They're so, many of them are so gullible. You see, they tell lies so they expect other people to tell lies. And they say the easiest way or the easiest person to cheat is a liar. Now, I don't know about these things. I'm not much of a liar myself. Sometimes, every time I do tell a little fib, I get caught, so I don't tell them. You know, I don't want to do that. Why should I? I can tell the truth, and everything goes great. I can sleep nights. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to cover my tracks. I don't have to keep lying to cover up the lying. That's what you have to do. Montateo, he's in trouble now. Lance Armstrong, he's in trouble. Barack Obama right now seems to be okay. But wait, he'll get caught. He'll get his. You know, the Bible doesn't have the word karma in it because of all its connotations of Hindu evil. But it does say about the same thing. You know, it says what a person sows, he will also reap. You know, what goes around comes around, I guess they say. And I'm not talking about reincarnation or anything. I'm talking about just you lie. Well, they'll come back to get you. What does it mean to lie? And what does it mean to be deceptive? You know, one of the programs I watch on TV is an ad that comes on periodically called The Wounded Warrior Project. And they show all these hard luck stories, these very sad stories of our wounded warriors. You know, men and women who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they come back with injuries, a limb missing, or their face is all tattered and torn up from some bomb. They're wounded warriors. They have a wounded warriors project. And, you know, they say give money to it. We need to help these people. And I want to help them very much. And Wanda said to me, that really seems like a very worthwhile project, Wounded Warrior Project. And I said, well, maybe we ought to check that out, the Wounded Warrior Project. And then before I could check it out, I heard something about it. Evidently, a church group wanted to give them an offering. Yes, a church youth group decided they wanted to help these people too. So they this church youth group, you know, like a Methodist church, I don't know what church it was, but they started having bake sales and car washing and all these different youth projects, all for the good. They raised, I don't know how much money, like $400 or something for the Wounded Warriors Project. It was only one project, but it was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, you know, to think that this group of young people at a church would give money to the Wounded Warrior Project. Suddenly they got back in the mail the same check they had sent. And the representative of the Wounded Warrior Project said, I am sorry, but we do not accept money from religious organizations. Huh? Say what? Does the guy without the leg know about it? Does the man who's a paraplegic, a wounded warrior, does he know you don't accept money from a church group of young people that went out and earned money to send you a love gift, a donation? The Wounded Warrior Project. They have country music singers and others that promote it. Well, evidently word got out about that. And boy, they were flooded with indignant letters and emails and phone calls. And the Wounded Warrior Project, its board met and decided they would change their policy. We will accept donations from religious groups. What they didn't want to do was accept any money from a Christian group. That's the big deal. Evidently, they were so flush with cash they could turn churches down. Well, no more Wounded Warrior Project. I mean, maybe you give money to it. I'm not going to give any money to it. It's terrible. J.C. Penney is one that's been dishonest. You know, J.C. Penney was founded by a Christian. Mr. Penney gave great sums of money to the church. One of America's greatest department store success stories. But guess what? The board of directors of J.C. Penney brought in a gay man, Ron Johnson, to be the new CEO. Well, Ron Johnson immediately changed everything up. He has all kind of new. He says, we're going to make every store. We're going to have like 30 boutiques within the store. We're not going to offer stuff like we did. We're not even going to have a catalog. We're not even going to advertise. People will just come because I'm Ron Johnson and I know so much. Well, evidently the man didn't know diddly because the store is failing. JCP, its stock was $45 a share 2 years ago, and now it's $19 and still falling. And the profits are way down. Now, Ron Johnson decided he had to advertise, so he went out and got somebody to help him. Guess who he hired? Ellen DeGeneres, the lesbian TV talk show host. Will you help me, Ellen? Oh, yes, Ellen helped. She helped bring the stock down even more. Then he said, well, I'm going to have to advertise some more. So I started doing catalogs. I got the catalog at my home in the mail, J.C. Penney's. Oh, my goodness. Lesbo City. All lesbians and homosexuals. I mean, you could tell they were all homosexual and lesbians. I'm not going to buy anything from that store. J.C. Penney? No. Consequently, the profits went down. They've been losing money ever since Ron Johnson took over. Now, Ron Johnson, where did he come from? Apple. He was in charge of the Apple retail stores. Well, you know, you don't really have to do much advertising or work to sell the iPhone. People just come and get it. They line up for miles to, you know, get it when it's released. Ron Johnson thought he could do the same thing at J.C. Penney. But it didn't happen. They deceived America, and they're paying a price. When Obamacare was passed, Barack Obama, the president, came out to announce that he was happy that Obamacare had passed and et cetera, et cetera. And Joe Biden, the vice president, came with him. And he said, and I heard him, you know, my own eyes, he said this to he said it so loud that everybody could hear him. As the whole nation was watching, he said to the president, the vice president that was talking to the president, he said, this is a big effing deal. Yeah, well, that's what most Americans thought too. Since when is our president, our vice president, using profanity like that? Well, since Dick Cheney. He went to Congress. There's a senator he didn't like. So right there on national TV, he said, F you to the senator. Of course, later on, he went down to South Texas and blew some guy's head half off in some, you know, gun incident. He'd been drinking. Of course, I expected of Dick Cheney. He's a wacko. He's a nut. Vice president or not. And Joe Biden, come on. The guy is not all there. He's really not. I mean, what have we descended to in America? I watched a little bit of the New York New Year's Day celebrations. Every channel seemed to have its own, you know, host. CNN had Anderson Cooper. And they brought in Kathy Griffin, the comedian. Well, I knew that was going to be a disaster. And there they were talking, Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper. And without getting into it too much to you, Kathy Griffin said, well, she let him know she wanted to give him oral sex right there on the screen. Now, she was just kidding around. But she got on her knees right down where his zipper was and pretended that she was doing it. And Anderson Cooper pretended that he was embarrassed about it. Then Kathy Griffin won some award several years ago. She went up there to get her award. And she said, all I've got to say about Christianity is, suck it, Jesus. Nothing happened to her. She got more rewards. She got more awards. Now she gets to be the CNN, well, whatever they call her, MC or host. They just lie to us. They lie. Look at Fast and Furious. You know about that. The gun running down in Mexico. Our own Attorney General, the Department of Justice, and the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, decided to have a gun operation in which they would provide thousands of assault rifles and weapons to the Mexican drug cartels. Now, why did they want to do it? There's only one reason why. They wanted these Mexican cartels to use them and to kill people. And boy, have they ever gone into a killing wave down in northern Mexico. This was all part of what we call the Fast and Furious operation. We armed the Mexican drug cartels, inviting them to massacre thousands of people. And they did, including some of our own drug enforcement and border patrol people. And when they were called to Congress, they said, you know, we just don't seem to have those documents. They lied. And then they were called for it, and then they gave a bunch of documents. But then they didn't have the real documents that Congress needed. Well, Congress really went after Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States. Why, they slapped his wrist. Bad boy. Bad boy. And now we have this new immigration reform bill. They're going to give us millions more illegal aliens in America. And they're going to make them all citizens. Really, amnesty. They're lying to us again. And they use the word reform rather than amnesty. That's what liars do. They use language to cheat us. They don't respect us. Anybody you lie to, they don't respect. Look at the guns thing. You know, the Constitution is very clear. The Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms, the right of the citizen, shall not be infringed. Now, I looked up the word infringe. You know what it means? It means nothing can be done about it. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, we can stop you from buying assault weapons. We can stop you from buying a certain kind of gun. We can stop you from buying a certain kind of cartridge. We can... No, you can't. You cannot infringe my right. Infringe. I mean, it means what it means. Well, no, it doesn't mean that. Yeah, it does. Then we have Osama bin Laden. First, they lied and said he did 9/11, which he didn't do. And then they put out all these fake videos. Every time you see him, he looked a little bit different, didn't he? It wasn't bin Laden in those videos. But the CIA kept manufacturing these fake videos. Finally, the pretense, the garbage that they were telling us that bin Laden was somewhere over there, ended when they finally faked his own death. And I suppose that there's some guy dead now that they say was bin Laden. And they can't show you his body, can they? Because then you would see that it was not him. They didn't kill bin Laden. I know the SEAL 6 team went in and they were so heroic and they shot up the place and they told us about five different stories and telling us how he died. They even made a movie, but it's all a bunch of fiction. And then to cover up, most of the SEAL 6 team got shot down in one of their helicopters a few months later. They were murdered to cover up the non-murder or the non-death of bin Laden. And then, of course, President Obama comes out and tells us the monstrously stupid lie. Yes, I got him. I got bin Laden. Even to go in the Iraqi war, we were lied to. Weapons of mass destruction, says Condoleezza Rice. Yes, Ms. Condi Rice said if you don't pass this bill for us to start a war with Iraq, there could be mushroom clouds across America. Ooh. Of course, Iraq didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, but that didn't matter. We lied, said that he did. And then Colin Powell lied, went to the UN, says, yeah, he's got them. And then when they were found out as a liar, they all said, well, we just believe the intelligence report. It was the intelligence. Folks, they ordered the intelligence agency, the CIA, George Tenet, to fake the report. And then they all believed in the report, they claimed. And then they went and started a big war. And so thousands of Americans have died. This is the result of a lie, of deception, of dishonesty. It shows they disrespect us as citizens of this great country. Now, what can we do, you and I, to make things right? What can we do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deceive. I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to disrespect other people. If each of us, you and I, would start and would make a pledge to God, to ourselves, because that's all that really counts. Of course, your family counts, your wife, your husband, your children. Let them know you're not going to lie. You're not going to be dishonest. You're not going to cheat on your taxes. You're not going to lie to people. You're not going to fake a resume and say you work this place or that place or you have this education when you didn't. You're not going to look on somebody's paper and take a test. You're not going to get somebody to do a paper for you. You're not going to be part of the problem. You're going to be honest. And I don't care how many other people lie. I don't care how many other people are dishonest. You yourself will pledge that you will not lie. You will not be dishonest. You will not disrespect. Now, some people say, well, you can't get ahead that way. You can't get ahead in business. Yes, you can. Well, I can't win office. I'm a politician. Well, what is the greatest good? I mean, do you really want to win office that much? Well, Tex, you can't win office, though. You just can't do it. Well, I don't care about office. I would rather live in a shack or a tent somewhere than be a dishonest man. When I die on my grave, please put over it, at least he was honest. At least he didn't deceive us. At least he respected us. This is Tex Mars. It's been my great privilege being with you today. It's an honor talking with you about such things. And my prayer is that you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.